Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Just another great day in Wisconsin. Humid today. Humidity really hasn't been there for a while, and then today it decided it wanted to get quite humid. But we should have figured we would have at least one more very hot stretch before we, finally got rid of the heat for good. And obviously in a few months, we're going to be wishing for this heat, I'm sure, as it's going to get really, really cold out, and it'll probably likely end up being a very cold and snowy winter. That's my guess. If I was a betting man, I would say it was a cold and snowy winter time, winter. So anyways, other than that, as always, got a great workout in. And here's the thing, I enjoy working out at home. And people want to know sometimes, Troy, why do I enjoy working out at home? Why would I rather work out at home than go to a gym? But here's the thing, why would I go to the gym, pay a membership fee, drive around the parking lot looking for, a parking spot? At my gym, they just built a Chick-fil-A, so it took away part of the parking lot, and they're building other stuff as well coming up. And, a lot of the equipment that I want to use in the gym usually don't work. They're broken. They have problems. And then, there's always people at the gym wandering around that aren't really there to work out. They're there to socialize. They're there to wander the gym and talk to people. And the thing is, if I'm working out, I'm there to work out. I come in with the plan in place, and I'm going to get my workout in. And a lot of the people I'm referencing, they're there just to socialize. So what I love about the programs I do through Beachbody, the majority of them take as low as 22 minutes and as high as an hour. And the thing is, they're to the point. I can get a 30-minute workout in, and I'll just as intense as an hour workout. And like I said, it's half the time. And it's to the point. You get it, you get the workout, and you're done. You don't have to deal with people. And that's what I love. I don't have to deal with people working out at home. And I've lost, quite a bit of weight by doing home workout programs. And I've been a lot more consistent losing the weight during the home workout programs than I ever was when I was going to the gym. I yo-yoed a lot when I strictly went to the gym. But, if you want to learn more, you just got to shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. That's coachevan66@gmail.com, and I'll talk to you about the options that are out there for you. There's lots of different at-home options you could do through Beachbody. Some are 22 minutes long, some that are 10 minutes long, some that are 30 minutes long. There's some intense cardio, some strength resistance training, some dancing. You name it, they have it. So coachevan66@gmail.com. So I'm going to throw it back over to you, Troy, before we get into the topics of the show, which Sam Bradford signed with the Vikings. What does that mean? And should Sam Bradford start Sunday? And also talk some college football. Mike and Mike in the morning brought up a very interesting conversation talking about overtime in college football. And the question is, should college football change their overtime rules? So with that, I'm going to throw it back to you and ask, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing good. I am doing much better than my former employer, ITT Technical Institute. I know you texted me this morning. I had not heard, Evan, until you texted me. And then when I did, my phone blew up. For loyal listeners, you know that at one time I worked at ITT, held a position as a regional director, a college director, and the news came out today, Evan, you text me, and then I looked into it. ITT Technical Institute closing business operations. There's a lot more to it when you're in education, but they are not taking any new students anymore, as the federal government banned ITT from getting federal financial aid for any new students. The ones in school will be able to receive their aid. They will teach out the programs, but they are not allowed to give federal financial aid to any new students. So I know that I had worked there for a while. I still have a lot of peers and even associates that still work there, and I feel bad for them. Nearly 8,000 people today, Evan, lost jobs. And that's a sad time when that many people are searching for work. But I just wanted to mention that because I did spend a portion of my professional career at ITT Technical Institute. And so for any of my old ITT friends that are listening to the show, you know, get in touch with me. Let's chat, and I feel for you. But you know, that's kind of what's going on today, Evan. That was the big news in my life. And then I just worked and also had some communication with WXED in hopes of, you know, solidifying some more things for the Red Light Sports Network and the different shows that we may be able to provide that community radio station. So busy evening and a lot of things going on today. And now we have a jam-packed half hour. A lot of things going on. Like you said, the big news coming in the NFC North, Sam Bradford to the Vikings. Honestly, I think it's a good move for them with what they had on the roster. Again, a Band-Aid guy, and that's kind of what Sam Bradford has been. We both scratched our heads when it was a Foles for Bradford trade from the Eagles to the Eagles and the Rams, wondering what was in it for the Eagles in that move. Bradford, you know, Evan, is a quarterback that can go in. He's not going to, you know, be flashy. He's not a terrible quarterback. He can get the job done at times. I just see a lot of inconsistency with Sam Bradford. But the Vikings needed a veteran quarterback to come in there and take over the reins. But again, this is an offense, Evan, in Minnesota that maybe doesn't have to depend on the quarterback. We talked about what it meant to Adrian Peterson. Sam Bradford might be that quarterback, Evan, that can keep a defense honest. You know, he may not be able to win you a ton of games, but when they're packing eight in the box, stopping Adrian Peterson and giving you man coverage on the outside, Bradford might be able to make those throws to loosen the defense up just a bit so that they can't always cheat and stop Adrian Peterson. I think it was a good move by the Vikings. They needed a quarterback that could keep defenses honest, and I think Bradford's that guy. Now, again, the success of the Vikings is going to be based on their defense and based on the success of Adrian Peterson. Sam Bradford needs to take care of the ball. One of his big knocks is turnovers. Turnovers, throwing interceptions, and if he's doing that, then defenses, again, will just go back, stop Adrian Peterson, and just intercept Sam Bradford. But I think for the Vikings, it at least adds some optimism to a season that seemed to be over when Teddy Bridgewater went down. So I think it's a good signing, Evan. And again, I don't think Bradford's going to be that guy where he comes in and he's the next savior, but I think he's a good enough quarterback where there's times he can keep a defense honest. But like I said, the big knock is that sometimes he gets a little careless with the football, and he'll turn it over. And you know as well as I do, in this division, the NFC North, you can throw records out when these teams play, and a turnover or a pick six can change the tide of any game. So I don't think that Sam Bradford scares me as a Packer fan, but I think as we do this show, and we analyze, was it a good move for the Vikings? I believe it was. What about you?
Yeah, well, for the Vikings, they got to do something. They're opening up a new stadium week two against Green Bay, and I think that's the first time we're going to see Sam Bradford play. is week two in Green Bay. I don't think he plays week one. I think they'll wait till week two to throw him out and the Vikings open up that new stadium. So they had to do something. You know, they got to get butts in seats. And there's still a potential Super Bowl favorite, this Peterson. But when you have the quarterback that they were going to have, they're not going to win very many games. And with all due respect to the guy, they just are not going to win very many games. And looking at Sam Bradford's career, you know, 2010, he started 16 games with the Rams, 2011, 10 games, 2012, 16 games, 2013, started 7 games. Nope, didn't play at all in 2014 due to ACL tear. 2015, 14 games. And in college, he was hurt a lot, too. So that's the one concern that you have with bringing him in. You know, Sam Bradford, at the end of the day, is really just a guy, but he's a better guy than Sean Hill. The problem is with Bradford, they gave up to get him. They gave up a first and fourth round pick for Sam Bradford. That's a lot for me. Giving up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford, that's telling me one of two things. The first thing it's telling me is they're unsure if Teddy Bridgewater is going to be able to come back. That's the first thing it's telling me. Second thing it's telling me, the Vikings are absolutely desperate for a quarterback. You know, they got the defense to win some games. They got a power running game. They need a quarterback that can throw it down the field every now and then. And Bradford is similar to a Teddy Bridgewater in his build and his frame. He's a similar guy. He's bigger than Bridgewater, but he's a similar type quarterback. 37-1, career 60% passer, 14,790 yards, 78 touchdowns, and 52 interceptions. His career passer rating is 81. He didn't light the scoreboard up in Philly, but really not too many people did, because Philly was just not very good last year overall. But he had a tendency to throw interceptions. 15 interceptions in 2012. In 10 games, he had 6 in 2011. 2010, he had 15. 2012, he had 13. And in seven games in 2013, he had 4. And last year, in 14 games, he had 14. So the Vikings desperate, but that's what this move shows. And they're basically mortgaging their future for Sam Bradford. Because the Vikings are ready to win now, and that's what they're trying to do. But at the end of the day, is Sam Bradford really that guy that's going to get you in the Super Bowl? I know Denver did it last year with a very weakened Peyton Manning, but I don't know if the Broncos. I don't think the Vikings defense is as good as the Broncos were, but we'll see. The one thing we do know about North Turner, he will put his players in the best position to be successful, and that's going to be key. Put Bradford in the best position to be. Bradford didn't really get to play at all with Adrian Peterson in college, but now he gets to play with them in Minnesota. So we'll see what happens. But as a Packer fan, this move doesn't really scare me too much, because Sam Bradford at the end of the day is just a guy. But the second question for you regarding Bradford, Troy, you thought it was a great move. Here's the question. Does Sam Bradford start week one? I don't think he should. I don't think they should start in week one. What do you think? Should Bradford start week one, or should they wait a couple weeks to throw him in there so he could continue to learn the offense?
Yeah, I don't think you start in week one. I mean, you're looking at a guy, yeah, he's a veteran. He's been in a couple different offenses, and maybe some of the offense is similar. But you have to learn terminology. You have to learn the players. You have to learn tendencies. I don't think you have enough time between now and Sunday to be ready to start a football game when you're not in the system. Yeah, he's a veteran, okay? He can go in. But what are you really going to get in week one? You have quarterback that has been in the system, knows the playbook, can maybe read the defense, can call some audibles, You give him a play or two and give him an option. If you have Sam Bradford in there, Evan, it's going to have to be a vanilla passing offense. I mean, again, we all know what's going to happen here. It's Adrian Peterson's offense. The Vikings offense and Vikings success is going to be on the legs of Adrian Peterson. And, you know, I'm going to go back and just make a note of what you said about what they gave up for him. It's desperation, Evan. It's pure desperation. Still a move that had to be made by Minnesota. They want to win now. They think after winning the division last year that they have the pieces in place. They do have a really solid defense. And Adrian Peterson is getting no younger. And so you have a year or two maybe, a window with him, and then you're going to be looking probably for a new running back, maybe three, I don't know. The way this guy is a freak of nature, the way he came back from his knee injury, so who knows, maybe he'll play six more years and prove me wrong. But it was a move out of desperation by you know, any standard. But I still think it was the right move, and I still think it was a very good move for Minnesota because it's a viable backup guy. But starting week one, no. I mean, if you're going to throw Sam Bradford in there, I think you might actually – you're not going to probably rattle him mentally, but I don't think you give your team the best chance to win by playing Sam Bradford in week one. Maybe week two. It could be week two. I mean, that's enough time, an intelligent guy, to learn the playbook. Again, you know, every system is different, even though it's football. I mean, you got terminology and blocking schemes and audibles and all of those things that go along with an extensive playbook. So my thought there to answer your question is, if Sam Bradford plays in week one, I don't think you give your team the best chance to win. When you have quarterbacks that have been in the system, have actually taken snaps in the system in game situations, a.k.a. the preseason, but at least they understand the playbook. They understand where the receivers are going to be, have more time with those receivers in practice. Bradford's going to have a limited amount of time with these receivers and the timing. So I say you let him sit and watch for a week and see if he's ready for week two. And a lot of it's going to be on his own mental aptitude and how fast he can learn the playbook. So I know we wanted to move on and talk a little bit about the NCAA, and very interesting that you bring that up. And I'm going to turn it right back over to you, and we can get into that topic.
Yeah, well, first of all, a lot of great college football going on in the NCAA over this weekend. You know, the new AP Top 25 about Wisconsin jumped from unranked to 10th with their upset win over LSU. So Wisconsin's now top 10. I think a little too premature for Wisconsin to be top 10, but they are. You know, they do got, after two cupcake games, number 12, Michigan State, number 5, Michigan, number 4, Ohio State, and number 16, Iowa, and back-to-back-to-back-to-back weeks. So Wisconsin could very easily be, you know, out of the top 25 altogether after the first 4 weeks of the Big Ten season. They could easily go 0-4. I'm not saying they will, but they could with that slate. But lots of great college football action. It started on Thursday night. Appalachian State takes Tennessee to the wire, and Tennessee holds off to the 20-13 overtime victory. Fast forward, you have Eastern Michigan winning, and they haven't won in quite a while. Yeah, Northwestern falling to Western Michigan, 22-21. Navy has to pull their true freshman quarterback out of the stands because their starter got hurt. So they got to pull the guy out of the stands to put in uniform. Not sure if he played it for sure, but that's what they had to do. Not a great day for the SEC overall. Richmond beat Virginia, which is kind of a head scratcher. Just lots of great football all around. And it ended Sunday night with Notre Dame versus Texas, 50-47 final score, overtime. And Texas got the win, scoring a touchdown in overtime after Notre Dame set it for a field goal. And then last night, Florida State beating Ole Miss 45-34.
you know, the overtime for Notre Dame. It was two overtimes, actually. And this got me thinking, I don't get your thought. Mike and Mike in the Morning were talking about this morning, about overtime in college football. Both of them are big fans. Mike Golic was talking about that it starts at the 25-yard line. So you're basically starting overtime in field goal range. Hard field goal, but you're in field goal range. And you only got to go 25 yards and score a touchdown. You know, you have a game like Texas and you got a game like Texas and Notre Dame and it ends the way it did. You know, it's hard to see. You know, a game that competitive and just like that, boom, it's over. Now, Mike Greenberg was saying that they should go back to how they used to do things at halftime because his big thing is, quote, nobody's ever died due to a tie in college football. And I didn't like the whole tie thing before. So I don't really agree with Greenberg, but I do kind of agree with Mike Golic. I think 25 is a little too close. I think they should do it more like the pros or push it out more to like the 45 or 35-yard line. Put some more yardage between the end zone and the starting point. So what are your thoughts on this opening week time in general? What are your quick thoughts before we let our listeners go?
No, I've always disliked the overtime rule in college. You know, it's basically, you know, you are in field goal range if you have a good kicker. And I know a lot of programs don't have a good kicker, so it is, you know, it can be a testy field goal, especially if you're a Big Ten school and you're playing the elements when it gets cold out. I've always thought that they should mirror the NFL. I think both teams should get a possession, and you go from there. You don't necessarily have to kick the ball off. I know in today's world you're talking about player safety, but why not start the ball off at like the 35-yard line? And they have to put a drive together to actually score, or the 50. But I think at the 25, for example, Evan, if you've got and you throw three incomplete passes or you run and gain no yards, it's a 42-yard field goal. You know, a good kicker can make a 42-yard field goal. So push it back or at least give the offense, make the offense earn it. And I think that you could either go to the pros, the way the pros do it, and, you know, you score a touchdown, well, game over. And if not, you know, that's the you play. And I think they can just change it. I don't like this where you line up, and I know they added, well, after, you know, then you have to go for a two-point conversion. Oh, I don't like the rule. Make it a little bit more challenging. I know that they'll say, well, it's college, and then you're going to have, you know, three and out or no first downs and a punt. And you can take the kicking away if you want and just move it back. You know, you get one first down, now you're in field goal range for a mediocre kicker. I think you should be forced to get one or two first downs before you can actually be in scoring range. So that's my thought. I've never liked the way the college overtime rule is right now, and I think they need to do something to make it a bit more challenging to score. And however you want to make the continuous possessions, so be it. But maybe you do it more like the pros and actually put 15 minutes on the clock and play like a modified fourth or a fifth quarter and alter the rules that way. If you don't want to have kicking for player safety, fine. But, you know, do it where you're not going to have these what they call eight overtimes. I don't consider those overtimes, Evan. They're extra possessions. It's not a true overtime session to me. So that's my quick thought there.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add. You know, I guess I don't have anything else to add. So, you know, moving forward, just, you know, like, you know, we're going to be going probably some heavy NFL chatter, try to squeeze some baseball talk in as the playoff races are really heating up, especially for the wild card. The playoff start of the day, it'd be the Giants and the Cardinals playing for in a wild card matchup for the NL. and I think the winner would decide get to play the Cubs. So, but anyway, I don't really have anything else to add. So I'm going to throw it back to you to see if you have anything else you want to add. If not, we'll let our wonderful listeners go.
Yeah, well, since I live out in Western PA, and you mentioned baseball, well, the talk is now about the Pirates having to sweep the Cardinals, and that didn't happen. They've actually played like poo. After sweeping the Brewers at Miller Park, they came back home, and then the Brewers returned the favor by sweeping the Pirates at PNC Park, and now two in a row to St. Louis. I think they're done, Evan. I think the Pirates, at this point, now two games under 500. I believe they've now fallen 5.5 back of the Cardinals. I haven't checked. I think it's 5.5 by losing tonight. Even if they win tomorrow, I know that they end the season with St. Louis, but that's a long way away. And the way that the Pirates are playing right now, a bullpen that used to be pretty darn good for the Pirates has been MIA since they started playing Milwaukee at PNC Park. After Friday night, that bullpen has just been in disarray. So what are your quick thoughts? Are the Pirates done, Evan?
Yeah, I think they're done. That would be an interesting topic to talk about for the work that we're doing for the station out in the Pittsburgh area, is where should the Pirates go from here? Because I have some strong feelings and opinions on that, and maybe we can cover it on one of our episodes for this show as well. But, yeah, I think they're done.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they'd have to go on just a stupendous roll right now and then get a lot of help. It's not like there's only one team in front of them. They now have to contend with the Mets, who are playing pretty good baseball right now. But with that said, Evan, another great show in the books. Tomorrow night will be actually NFL kickoff eve, as the NFL starts on Thursday night. So we will talk a little bit of baseball, talk a little bit of NFL, talk all sports tomorrow night. Make sure you join us at 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night. Have a good night, everyone.